Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening on Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us, friends. No matter if you are the writer, producer, or the manager, or the singer, no matter the role, you have a purpose, and you're leading that purpose. Our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip, to help all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue in His calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is Q? It is how Nehemiah, a model transformation leader, led a starved, desperate, isolated, broken people in building a wall around ancient Jerusalem. And since building a way of life, he C-U-E them up. C is for common ground. What we can agree on is the why we're coming together. Use unified thought. What vision can we share together? This is why we're, what we're doing. And in E is equally yoked. What is the game plan? What success looks like? What's my role in it? How is the how we're going to go on this journey together? So Q leadership, in a general, is it integrates biblical principles. Leadership using Nehemiah as a model and helping you do two things. Number one, get people to trust you. And two, get people to follow you. And trust in discipleship is at the axis of leadership, no matter where you are in life. So as we always do, we want to start our show with a word. So, Lord, we are a powerful, merciful, living God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience and all that are serving you. Lord, we know that this Q leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. And, Lord, we honor you today and by doing two things, giving you the glory and serving this generation through Q, Lord. Your word says in Romans 12:2, tell us, let us be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Lord, please use this ministry to complete that purpose, to align, equip, and transform some new leaders for your glory, and help others hear the call, receive the call, and help us this ministry to raise some transformation leaders, some gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what do we expect today during our time? We like to have a dialogue. We have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's word. We try to equip leaders with a roadmap to tap into faith and to tap into that building trust and building discipleship. And we like to try to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference and that can testify to God's goodness in their lives. Our show is a lot of things. But it is not to criticize, but to shine a light in some truth and love. It's not to tell you what to do, but to provide a different lens in order to see things. It's not to focus on the mere symptoms of a problem, but get to the root of it. Treat the infection in a sense and not the runny nose. So today, as with any day, let's be open. And let's pray that you hear the Lord and not me, and let us have the right questions, no matter what the differences may be. Remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be differences. But let us do what a true transformation leader of our time says. Let us agree without being disagreeable. And let's be thought partners at the end of the day. So, you know, today we're in a series here. We're in a series right now called Soul versus the Spirit. And so it starts in Hebrews 4:12. Tells us that the word of God is living and active. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword and piercing even the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You know, what does the Lord mean about that, about being living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword? You know, the word divides the spirit with the soul as a sword divides the marrow from the joints, which are the bones. The marrow is not the same as the bone. The marrow is something within the bones and the joints. And the same principle with the spirit is something with inside the soul. It's easy for people to see the bones, but it's not easy for people to see or realize where the marrow is. You have to break the bones in order to get to the marrow. In the same manner, the spirit is under covering the soul. So last week, we had our special guest in Howard Russell, who beat a match, talking about the importance of bone marrow. The transplant, bone marrow transplants are in living and saving lives. But as we closed our show, we talked about the importance of the bone marrow saving souls as well. Just like the bone marrow transplant changes the makeup and creates a new lineage of blood cells for the patient, the Word of God changes our own blood lineage to that of Jesus and regenerating, creating, igniting some new cell growth with one purpose in mind, saving the soul that it houses. Imagine that, the thing that's being sheltered and used to heal and strengthen and refine and satisfy is designed for in a way to protect that housing. So the soul and the spirit are like the marrow, the bone joint and the bone marrow, and soul is like an invisible dimension of our body that we are by nature, which is our mind, our will, and emotions that sometimes are manifested in wisdom or foolishness or ignorance or even reverence and good behaviors, all those things that we do and demonstrate. The spirit is what we are by supernatural rebirth. The way God made us, our intended image of him, Jesus said in John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and which is born of the spirit is spirit. And without an awakening, without the creative regeneration work of the spirit of God, we're merely natural things rather than spiritual things. So that spirit, in a sense, is an invisible dimension of our lives that we're generating through the work of the spirit. So, but let's retrace and follow that scripture backwards, okay? If that two-edged sword, which is the word, has reached our marrow, that means that that two-edged sword has also pierced the bone itself and severed through the bones and the joints, right? So if that two-edged sword has pierced the bone and severed the joints, that two-edged sword has pierced and cut through the flesh of the body that houses the bones and the joints and the marrow. So is it safe to say that a two-edged sword had to kill the body, had to kill the flesh? Is it safe to say that the flesh has to die? Is that not what Apostle Paul talked about, that when he talked about dying daily? Let's hold that for later. But let's talk about that two-edged sword. There are four verses in the Bible that speaks of that two-edged sword, two in the Old Testament, two, and two in the New. And I believe if when the Lord quickens or brings attention to ourselves, there's something that we need to pay attention to. There's one in Psalms 149, one in Proverbs 5:4, and Hebrews 4:12 that we're talking about, and also Revelation 1:6. But there is a connection between that two-edged sword, the Word of God, and taken in the Revelation 1:16, is that he had in his right hand and seven stars, and out of his mouth with a sharp two-edged sword, and this countenance was as of the sun and shining in the strength. My point is that John's vision described Jesus as is now, where his work of redemption is completed, and a sword is illustrative of the Word of God. And I know that the image kind of paints this physical picture in our mind, but painting the sword as a physical weapon, but the sword is actually the sword of the Lord is actually a spiritual weapon that brings instruction or correction, that brings wisdom, that brings discernment, that brings understanding, that brings strength and a stable foundation, and brings healing and growth, and also protection. Like what we find in Paul's reference in Ephesians when he talks about putting on the full armor of God, and the sword of the Spirit is part of that armor. And the important thing is in all of this, we can debate or we can challenge or whatever, but the important thing of all of this is that not a man or woman alive is exempt from the sword which comes from the mouth of our risen Lord. This two-edged sword is the Word of God. If we receive the word that Jesus spoke, there will be a work, a change, a transformation with us, that says the first that we all start, as we always start our show in Romans 12:2, about being transformed by renewing of your mind. We will be made in the very image of what the Lord intended us to be, in a sense also put on cue with God's will. And even if all our joints are severed, though, if all they're severed on the table, and even if all our bones are cracked, or even if all our marrow is dried up, the great thing about the Lord is that he can bring life back into us. He can make us back over. So y'all to hear that, though, but even slaughtered by circumstances, with fear, if it's money, power, sex, education, politics, whatever it is, he can put us back together and make us over. But however, though, that two-edged sword cuts both ways, as it implies. In other words, if you resist him and be not conformed or can fight against the words that Jesus spoke, or that same two-edged sword which severs the joint can sever us from his eternal fellowship. So it's simple questions today. Which way do we want to be slaughtered? I know that's kind of tough to hear, but which way do we want? Nobody's perfect, and certainly not me, but the question still remains for all of us. Which way do we want to be slaughtered? And what words are piercing your bones? Is it the word of God or the word of man or the word of the world or a word of self? And some of us may like this, or even maybe the word of our own doctors and customs that from our places where we worship, that piercing our bones instead of the word of God. So friends, words are powerful, so powerful that some can love you and seal you, some can break you and heal you, and others can blind you but can kill you, can slay you and slaughter you. And what if there was a chance, this opportunity, where all of these words can do all of that at once? It's kind of strange, huh? Well, some of those words, we have some of those words here today, and with our special guest, where they have words of love and sealing and breaking and healing and blinding and slaying and slaughtering, we got two special guests. It's unanimous. Gospel Christian rap group Jerry Junior Johnson and Cora Churchboard Johnson. They are brothers by birth and brothers by the Spirit. I tell you, it's a little strange for me because I haven't had my head bobbed in a long time. You know, if you could see me, I probably got my hat turned backwards here. I have to admit, I haven't bobbed like that in a long time listening to these brothers' music. These young brothers just, as they say, want to be used by God and present the message that no one is perfect, but we all can be forgiven and we all got a purpose. And I tell you, friends, they can flow. They can absolutely flow. We have been praying for these type of new leaders who are casting their net, as they say, and they're helping us answer the question of the day. Are you rapping to the slaughter? So grab all that you know. Grab all your kids, your friends, family, young and old. Bring them as we bring on Unanimous to talk about their journey and to play some of the newly released music from the album From the Slaughterhouse. So after the break, we'll start our dialogue with our special guest, Unanimous, Jerry and Corey Churchboard Johnson, the group Unanimous. So during the break, stay with us. We would love to hear from you. You can call us at 310-861-2331. I'm in the studio by myself again. My daughter's on the way, so you have to be patient with me if I don't click things just right. So to ask a question or make a comment, feel free to press one on your telephone, that raises your hands virtually. You can also log into our live chat room. We can talk there. Friends, we'd love to hear from you. So please call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We will be right back after this first cut out the Slaughterhouse album called Fear No Evil.
Darkness, I've been no evil, I've been across daily in front of all these people. know one day he coming back like Jason. Crystal Lake, lock me up like Paul and Silas. Guaranteed a great escape. Carrier of your messages, unlock me, Lord, they'll break. Yeah, you chilling in your Maybach, but keep on spinning that thing, and you gon' end up where it's pitch black. Way hotter than if I got the calendar bra Maybach. Guaranteed to kneel before the Lord. Touchback, you say that you a boss. I run my trap, when all you really doing is just running your trap. You like that dude who built this house on sand and it collapsed. Don't you think it's time to give the Lord a try? Perhaps
in the midst of darkness, I fear no evil. I bear the cross daily in front of all these people. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 23. See the table in the presence of my enemies. It's only one to me, but I fear no evil. I fear no evil. I fear no evil. It's only one to me, but I fear no evil.
My king and my family, my hustle and my vision. I walk with my chest high, live, let the rest die. When you can guess why, now is the best time. They try to tell me what I could and what I want, but I told you that I'm never folding back. And while you looking, we'll be gone. If you a soldier, you'll be strong. And when it's over, you'll be home. We never fall away, he give us all the grace so we can go where we belong. Let's go. He sends distractions every day to try to break your soul. You're not prepared for this war if they take control. You screaming loud and beat your chest, but you tumble easy. Cause of you and what you do, they won't believe. I got this army on my side, nobody confused. This an uphill battle, we ain't come to lose. So if you with us, then you with us. If you not, bounce. We come for victory, unanimous, but you about.
In the midst of darkness, I fear no evil. I bear the cross daily in front of all these people.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and his purpose. Lord, today's question of the day, it's unanimous. Wrapping to the slaughter. Helping us with that is you, so please call us at 310-861-2331. And also helping us that with that is our special guest, Unanimous, Jerry and Corey Churchport Johnson. They wrap a raw message that God rules everything. These young brothers are just want to serve. They want God to use them and present the message that no one is perfect, but all can be forgiven. And we've been praying for these types of leaders, and they've been casting nets. So, brothers, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yes, sir. Glad to be on.
Jerry, Corey, can I hear you?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thanks for joining us tonight. Can you hear me pretty well?
Yes, sir. We can hear you pretty good.
Absolutely. Well, great. You know, I told you I haven't had my head bobbing like that in a long time, so got me excited here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know, as you always do, we're going to let the audience get to know you a little bit, but I want to start with both of you and with the first question I've always asked, and I want each of you to share it and tell us why. And the second one's kind of trivial. I think we're going to be talking about what you want to do everything. But what is that one word that describes both of you? So you choose who want to go first.
It's Corey, man. I'm going to go first. The one word that describes me would be worshiper. I think that a lot of times when we think about the word worship, we think about the slow song during praise and worship. We think about just lifting our hands. But what I learned is a lot of people can do that, but worship to me is a lifestyle because it's easy to look good in front of people in church. We can be like the Pharisees and Sadducees who just wanted to be seen, but worship is a lifestyle. You do it all the time, even behind closed doors. We worship through our giving. We worship through our prayer life. We worship through reading and meditating on God's word. So worship is a lifestyle. Like everything that you do, we give it to God.
Amen to that. Worshiping. So what about you, Jared?
The word that would describe me, I would say, is humble.
And, humble.
One of the reasons why I say that is because when we first started out doing this music, that's one thing I told God that I wanted to keep because of we're no matter what stage we go to, no matter how high people may build us, it's good to always stay humble. In James 4:10, it says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So it's always good to stay grounded and remind yourself of where you came from. No matter how high you may get or how high people may put you, what stages you're on, it's always good to know Christ and just to stay humble, stay in that world.
Yeah, absolutely. So if I combine those two, stay humble for the Lord and just give him worship and eternal glory, if you mix those two, that's why your music is so perfect, seems like it, and you got a great, great chemistry. You know, the second question is always been, if money was no issue, what would you do every day? So should I have to ask that?
One of the things I probably would do is have my own studio, because I love to spend time in music and no offense to any of our producers or anything like that, but sometimes you get so limited with your own money that, you know, you pay a certain amount for an hour, and that's all you can get because that's all you can afford. But I know if I had liberty in my own home to do my own studio, that's something that I would love to do. I would do it all the time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Same for you?
And me, it would be – I would continue to do the same thing that I'm doing right now, because my number one mission, like I said, is, you know, going into the dark places to save souls. So, of course, if we had the money, we would, like, enhance what we're doing now even more, that we can give to the community and be able to touch the lives of youth, man.
Absolutely. So we all praying for provisions here. So we're gonna hit some of that, making sure our listeners kind of make sure you put a special prayer for the unanimous here as they continue to spread the word and make an impact and find some lost souls. You know, so let's set the stage a little bit. So Jerry, tell us a little bit about Unanimous. Why the name? Where you're from? Just give our friends a little background.
Unanimous. Actually, we were thinking of some names to come up with when we first started the group, and I think it was either me or Corey. We ended up saying that whatever name we have to come up with, it's got to be Unanimous or whatever. And that kind of stuck with us. We thought about the reasoning behind that. We thought about sports and then boxing. In order for them to pick a winner, they all have to be on one accord. So we always... Me and my brother, we always felt that there was a name that we wanted to stick with, because we always want to stay on one accord, not just me and him, but with God in the middle of it also. So that's why we stuck with the name Unanimous.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I can see it, and it's a great name. It's words are powerful, right? Lord, give them to you. They are powerful. So Kurt, how long have y'all been doing this? And also, who writes the material for you? Can you talk about that?
Yes, sir. We've been doing this since 2011, and just to give a little background, like, we actually I'm an organist, and JR, he's a drummer. So we started off doing music for a while. Music ran in the family. Grandma was a great organist and a music director, and we've been doing it for a minute, but we actually... God sometimes can shift your direction. Sometimes the way that you plan to go, God shifts it. And, you know, it was just prophesied to us that we would, you know, start doing different types of music. And right after that, we started writing rap songs. And if you had asked me, like I told you earlier, if you had asked me that, I probably would have looked at you like, no, I'm not going to be a rapper.
right.
He allowed us to go this direction. And we've been doing it for 3 years, man. And ever since, one thing I learned is the blessings that God gives you, the gifts that he gives you, if he gave them to you, he's going to allow you to prosper. And so we know it came from him, and it wasn't our own desire to do this. And ever since, he's been with us.
Absolutely. So in a sense, you know, yeah, you started in 2011, but it actually started before that, right? Being in church and being part of the praise and worship team and playing instruments. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So JR, tell us about, you know, I know you get this all the time. You know, what is your music? Hip hop, Christian rap, gospel rap? How would you define it?
Yeah, we get it a lot. I guess we don't look at it as a genre, what we're doing, because we don't like to be inside of a box. Because so many times, certain people won't listen if it has a title, Christian rap, or, you know, they won't tap into it, but we feel like our message is so powerful in the lyrics that we pack into the songs or the beat that we feel that it should be for everyone. So that's why we don't pretty much put a title on what we have, because we don't want to stray anyone away from listening to it. But like I said, we don't really go for a genre to put it in. It's kind of like its own box. We want to leave it with question marks. So people,
yeah, I get it. I understand, because easily to get people comfortable with you, they have to sometimes put you in a box. And, you know, some of us just don't fit in boxes. So I completely understand that. So Corey, tell us about the album, Slaughterhouse. Why the name? What's the message?
Yes, sir. During the time when we were writing this album, God was dealing with me a lot in my life about some things that I needed to cut off. Because some things, relationships, materialistic things, can be weights to you. And you can try to jump and you can try to fly all day with weights on you, but it's going to be hard for you to get to your destination until you cut those things off. And one thing that I love about Paul, he said that we're supposed to deny our flesh daily. So in order for God to take us to the place that we really need to go, our future and all those things, we have to cut a lot of the things off that our flesh desires. We have to cut our flesh, and we have to give everything, like I said, we have to God, and let our spirit man rule. And so that's kind of how we came up with the title of Slaughterhouse. Just like the pigs are taken to the slaughter, we have to kill this flesh. We're like the walking dead. Like, we've killed our flesh, but now our spirit man rules. So,
all right, kill our flesh, but our spirit man rules. And so JR, with that, though, that really kind of leads to, you know, why you've been called, right? That's why you've been called to do this at the end of the day, right?
Yes, sir. Like he was saying, I think this is our call. We have a special calling. I feel that our ministry, the way that we minister, we can go into certain places, certain areas that'll accept it. I think God has built us up to go into the dark places. We are the light. God is the light. He shines in us, so I feel that we can go into dark places and give our all through this music and bring people out, bring them back into the church.
Yep. And so once he tells you and calls you, you just can't wait. It's just that urge just burns into you. I could hear it, feel it in your spirit when I spoke to both of you earlier this week. So Rich really leads to our next cut that we're going to play about Tomorrow Ain't Promised. We got to get it going today.
Yes, sir.
So can we talk about, can you give the folks just a little preview of what that song's about? If it's not already explanatory, but tell us about it before we go to break and play that song through.
Yes, sir. It's a lot of things that we put off for tomorrow. It's a lot of things that God has called us to do, but we wait on the next person. We become like Moses. We make all kind of excuses of why we can't do it. But tomorrow, it isn't promised. So everything that God has called us to do, we got to do it now. Like, there's no waiting. There's a generation that's hungry. There's a generation that's thirsty. And if we don't do our responsibilities as Christians, then the world is going to do theirs. They're screaming loud. So tomorrow ain't promised. We got to do it now, man.
And you can do it now. So with that, after the break, we'll continue our dialogue with Unanimous JR and Corey Church Board Johnson's rapping to the slaughter, which is question of the day. So feel free to call us at 310-861-2331 and press 1 if you got a question or comment. You want to talk with the brothers here. Friends, we would love to hear from you. This is On Cue. We'll be right back after the break. And here is Tomorrow Ain't Promised.
They talk about popping Molly, young kids listening, man, what's up with this? The strip club ain't living, getting high ain't living, stacking money ain't living, but Jesus Christ I'm giving. If you wanna bust, put your cups out, we gon' fill them up. Till they running over, ain't worried about a thing, ain't no looking over my shoulder. Got my hands raised like a hold up, hold up, hold up. He never fails, he always show up, show up, show up. That living water, so I pull up, pull up, pull up. Don't get caught up, caught up. Conform to this world and what they taught us, taught us. I'm the walking dead. how far he brought us. Ma ain't promise, I'ma slow it down, slow it down. Talking fast like I'ma slow it down, down. Before I take my last breath, they put me in the ground. I'ma slow it down, I'ma working. Her daddy left, now she hurting. Started off with some flirting. Now she in the club and she twerking. All these married men and they lurking. Seem like the enemy plan it was working. But she went to church on that Sunday and that pastor started to insert.
He told her,
Jesus died so you could be about that life. Don't worry about your pain, your enemies and that strife. So you can live, man. We can live, man. Don't know how to do it. Well, I can show you how. Like a pot of green, you know what it is when we come in to the scene. It's no drink, no smoking, standing in clear by scene. Spearman strong, like Papa Winnie on that green. Sturdy foundation, foundation. I'm never swayed. Wanna look at past, set up what's displayed. Haters wanna hate, haters wanna hate. They wanna throw shade, but all I need is music to block these haters. Call it band.
Like when you look at videos, you look at technology, and what we see on TV now, the message is being spread that we're only something when we have materialistic things. So you have a youth that's hungry for the materialistic things, big cars, big rims, nice housing, clothes, chains, and all those things. They teach our youth that that's the only way, that's how you are defined. But we're not defined through those things. We're defined through Jesus Christ. And one scripture that has always stuck with me is Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we need, you know, from God, it comes through him. We don't have to go after the material thing. So basically that's what that song is getting to.
Exactly, which leads to one of your lines in there. You said, he that lives in the water and then pour it up. So J.R., is that what you're talking about? That's what's living. This is the only material you need is from that living water.
Oh yeah, this is just talking about God is that living water, so we got to pour it up.
Absolutely. How when you hear this song, I think I've heard, you know, my entire life, hey, tomorrow ain't promised, you know, and this is so important for all of us to hear. But you know, lots of times when you say that to young folks or the youth, young and old, really don't know what to do. And I love within there you talked about, if you don't know what to do, I'll show you how.
Right.
Tell us about showing us how.
It's all about seeking God, and he'll show you how. Like, our prayer daily is for God to show us the right path to be on. We got to let God be our GPS. He has to guide us in showing us how. So in that way, when you know where you're going, you can lead people. So it's not about the world leading, because sometimes we feel like my brother said, we see the videos, and that's the thing that we want to chase after. But we need to be chasing after God. And God set leaders on this earth to have a following. And we feel like we can stand up and be those leaders and have a voice out here. And we're just telling people, we're following God. So it's okay to follow us. Like, we can show you. If you don't know the way, we can show you the path how to get there.
Absolutely. And Corey, how important, you know, I want to call you church boy so bad, if that's okay.
It's cool.
So how important is it to be ready to show and tell?
It's always important to be ready because I kind of feel like some people, my dad says this all the time, they'll never pick up a Bible. But if we don't have the word, they're looking at our lifestyles, they're looking at us as the example to show them the ways of God. And, you know, so many times, and you never know who's going to come up to you. You never know who's going to need an encouraging word. And if you're not equipped, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman in need of not to be ashamed. And if we're not studying our word, if we're not prepping ourselves for souls, then it's like the blind leading the blind. Like, we have to be ready for that at all times.
You know, you're so right, and you got to be prepped and be ready. But I want to pick up on something right there. You know, your parents are ministers.
Yes, sir.
And it's not only where, you know, I think that's kind of double on you, right? Yeah, it's where, yeah, you've been called, but then you also are kids of ministers. That's,
yes,
that's some added pressures, right?
Yes, sir.
What message would you give those like you? And I know I'm going off traffic for this subject here for a second, but I think there's some people who have ministers as parents who also have been called and maybe rebelling right now. What would you say to them?
I would always say, like, you're always supposed to obey your parents. There's a lot of things that gifts and a lot of things that come through them. It's never good to rebel against your parents because a lot of the things that we have right now, it was because of them. A lot of the good nuggets and knowledge and wisdom, it came through them. And you should never get so caught up into what you're doing yourself, but you should always take those principles that were taught to you and instill inside of your life in a message.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So J.R., pick up on the last comment about being ready to save some souls, right? And so essentially, that's what this is all about. That's why we're on this radio. That's why we learn the scriptures. That's why we make it part of ourselves. And that's why we go out and testify and use our lives as testimonies for others. How important is this next cut around saving souls that we're about to play?
It's vitally important. That's our number one goal when we go out. Even before we get on stages to do our music, we're always behind the scene worshiping and praying because we know we can't forget our mission. Our mission, wherever we go, is number one to save souls and to reach the lost. So we just want to edify that, and we want to be that example. So that it's vitally important just to remember it's not about the talent. It's not about all of this other stuff, but our goals on that stage is just to save souls.
Save the souls and reach the lost. That sums it up right there. So we're going to play your cut real quick, and part of it, and this is unanimous cut, saving souls.
You I'm not in this for the moolah, I'm not in this for the shows, I'm not in this for the glory, I'm not in this for the clothes. But God knows I'm out here saving souls. But God knows I'm out here saving souls. I feel the concrete, cause I'm saving souls. You can see right through me, cause he made me whole. I took it on the mountain, high top, no it's cold. They wanna see me fall like October, but I won't though. I'm enjoying icy like Coco. See me riding solo, telling folk that don't know. He coming back on a horse polo. We coming back, Rolo. Can't stand still, no photo. You would think that we could tie switch the teams, guess I wanna get cut like Ocho. Even Triloquist ain't got no self control. Call me Inspector the Gadget when he sent me. Go, Power Rangers, whole world in danger. Can't change us, can't name us, can't hang us. Tryna paint a bad picture, but they can't frame us. Putting Jesus behind bars, but he didn't commit a crime. The world is thirsty, but I got plenty of punchlines. I'm like a bank, I'm a branch connected to the vine. Enough on light, but in the darkness, that's why I'm gon' shine. It look good from up here. I see haters in my mirror. Dropping like a tear, not kill that. I'm not in this for the moolah, I'm not in this for the shows, I'm not in this for the glory, I'm not in this for the clothes. But God knows I'm out here saving souls. But God knows I'm out here saving souls. Turn up right here,
yeah.
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 Turn up right here,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
turn it right.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah,
turn it right.
Yeah,
if you looking for me, you can find me. I'm right here.
Right here.
Every single Sunday, I'll be turned up in here.
Turn
them same old haters, they all up in my ear. But I'm blind to the world, but I'm also deaf, so I'm I can't hear you now. Nah, I can't hear you. Nah, I can't hear. I'm focused on the throne, and I can see it so clear. I know if I let him steer, he won't veer. Cause God'll never let me down. Landing gear.
Yeah.
How can we sit through a message and hear it once or twice? Then turn around and act salty, like twice. Just trying to be a hero like Andy and save a life. But y'all won't hear me cause I'm not Andy, I'm Barney Fife. But it's not the messenger, it's the message man. People try to knock me, I'm just a doorman. I'm like the Hebrew boys, I had to take a stand. They tried to grill them like George, did they saw four men.
It look good for my beer.
Sorry, brothers, I hear technical difficulties here. So that's saving souls. Corey, how important for us to understand that we must feed our spirit with the word in order to save our souls?
Yes, sir. We can kind of relate it to the physical day. Like we eat three times a day physically. But spiritually, if we're not feeding ourselves, then we're just going to be weak. We can talk about the slaughterhouse all day, but if we're not feeding our spirit, man, there's no way that the spirit man is going to overrule the flesh. So it's always important to feed our flesh, like, at all times, man, as much as we can. David prayed three times a day. There was even a man in the Bible that had calluses on his knees from praying so much. But we have to get to that point, especially if we want to be spiritual leaders and spread this word to the people of God.
Amen to that. So JR, you know, this is another great one. You guys got a whole lot of it. It was tough to pick some the songs to talk about here. But if we feed the flesh, and I love this verse, it says you become a ventriloquist with no self-control. I love that line. Talk about that.
That's actually my verse.
Okay. Yeah, so go ahead. You talk about your verse. You're right. That was on the first stanza. I got it.
All right. And basically, you know, if we allow our fleshly man to rule or whatever, we become his ventriloquist. We have no self-control. It's going to be hard to do the things of God if we don't, you know, like you said, feed our flesh or whatever. And that's basically what this is talking about.
Absolutely, but it's just one of those great lines. You know, before I jump to my question, we have a caller have a question for you too. So you on cue, tell us your name and what part of the country you're from.
This is Nikita. Can you hear us?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hey, this is Nikita, and I'm from Florence, Alabama. And
okay.
I just wanted to give a shout-out to Unanimous because my kids love Unanimous. Oh, my God. Let them know you love them. We love you. Love you.
Thank you, Nikita. That's great. Good shout-out. So you are reaching people. You're saving some souls with this word. And thank you, Nakia, and as well as her kids that love Unanimous. You know, JR, that kind of makes your job, I know it's tough, it makes it easier a little bit too at times, right? But God's using your craft to kind of take his words, and as we talked about in our scriptures, we begin to pierce some bones and get to the marrow of the young and the old, as our call just showed. You know, the old thinks that sometimes, you know, the older generation thinks that you're too young for them to listen to, right? And the young is sometimes too focused on the world, and you flow about it when we talked about you just the messenger. Y'all won't hear, not any Andy, but Bonnie Fife, or just the Hebrew boys. You know, I'm skipping through, but grilling them until they saw men. Can you talk about that whole experience of the challenge of being leading old and the young with your music?
Oh yeah, I kind of put that in the verse about Andy because we all. Well, we're fans of Andy Griffith over here. My dad's a big fan of his. So, you know, a lot of times it was hard for Barney to get his recognition because of his position. And because of the position that we're in doesn't mean that people can't listen to us and what we're saying. So that's what I mean by that. A lot of times, you know, youthful-wise, a lot of older people don't want to hear because of the age difference, but a lot of times young people have wisdom also, just as well as older people, and they can voice their opinion. But in the Hebrew boys, what I was speaking of in that was they went in a fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to the world, the world ways. The king wanted them to bow down to the music and worship them, but I feel like we're that way today. Like, we've come so far in where we are that we can't go back to those old ways. We can't bow down. We won't settle. Like, we're pushing for Christ, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep going. And even though if they do put us in a fiery furnace, it's not going to be like it was back in the day, but we still have furnaces that are mental here, like criticism, the furnaces of intimidation, all these things are mental aspects that we go through today, but we all got to realize that it's just a test for God to take us higher. They was put in a fiery furnace. If you look at gold, sometimes gold is not at its purest form until you put fire under it. So God is going to allow tests to happen sometimes just so you can come out as pure gold.
Absolutely. Kind of refine it a little bit more, right? Get all the impurities out. Absolutely. So, you know, I know at times, you know, the things may get tough, and I think for all of us, you know, serving God or walking in your calling, and just like anyone falling in God's calling, society will tell you, just as you talked about, this is not the way. That is, you know, the outside looking at in at you closely, but you can't let society define you. Is that right, JR?
Yes, sir. Can't let society define you, because sometimes they look at the outward opinion, the outward appearance of how we look. I'm a 6'6" guy with dreads. If I walk into a room, people automatically assume an opinion about me, but it's until you get to know what's on the inside of me that you'll understand me. So it's not about a public opinion of what they think, but it's all about what's on the inside of me.
Absolutely. It's they don't know the marrow yet, right? They just see the bones. They see all the flesh as you walk in. So Corey, in one of the lyrics, you say you have to talk about what we live the way we talk, because we want to get through the talk. They want to see how well we walk. I think I got that right, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. You know, how important is that? Your brother just talked about walking into the room, but all eyes on him because of his size. But at the same time, his eyes even get closer to him once they figure out how and what he does.
Yes, sir. I would actually take credit for those lyrics. I would love to take credit for those lyrics, but those lyrics are my brother, so I'm going to let JR answer that question.
maybe that's why I should have asked before. I said, who wrote these parts? And I'm just going through. But no, go ahead, JR. Tell us about it.
The lyrics say, yeah, we talk about Jesus, but we live the way we talk. Because after we get through talking, people see how well we walk. So we just know that whatever we say on stage, we're responsible. We're accountable for what we say on stage. You just can't get up there and have this big dream and this fantasy and say all this stuff, but you actually have to kill your flesh daily to be able to live that life that you're preaching on stage. People won't follow you if they know that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So it's about living that life, being examples, Christian examples to the young kids, the youth around you, to know that they have somebody positive to follow. They're not following people who are selling drugs, who are drinking, who are out here in clubs and stuff, but that's living a clean life to edify God.
So it's the second part of the axis of leadership as talk about. You know, it is people watching you so they can trust you or follow you. That's essentially, if you get people to trust you and get people to follow, you can lead them. And so it's so important to your point of making sure whatever you put out in the world, if it's voice, if it's written or whatever, you're going to have to be held accountable for that at the end of the day. And Corey, sometimes that becomes tough to do, right, especially if you're not living by the Spirit. What would you say about that?
Yes, sir. It does become tough to do, man. But like I said, it's all based back just like following principles. You know, a lot of people, we get caught up in ourselves and like what we want as a person. But if we keep God first, that becomes an easy task.
Right. So what you know, this is perfect. You're leading right into our next cut. It's about putting God first. And this next cut we're about to play is G.O.D. And so we'll be right back after this.
Like this world, I'm spinning round and round, spinning round and round, yeah. I'm not gonna let nothing get me down, nah. I'm in your city, going town to town, yeah. And point my finger up, cause in the past I could have. Preaching in the pulpit, you worried about your outfit. So many times we take advantage of our salvation. I suggest you might have
yeah. And point my finger up, cause in the past I could've, I should've, but now I wanna pull up and tell them about D.O.D. And tell them about D.O.D. Cause in the past I could've, I should've, but now I wanna pull up and tell them about D.O.D. And tell them about D.O.D. When I was young, I was in the church on my knees asking for forgiveness. Get back up and still doing dirt, acting holy, somebody can I get a witness? People watching, waiting on you to slip up. But then we wonder why the church empty, cause they don't wanna hear us. But we gon' change that. We're not perfect, got plenty of flaws, but my God's still working.
Brothers, that's another good one, G-O-D. So before I make a mistake again, okay, who wrote that one?
I did, Corey.
Okay, Corey. So tell us about G-O-D.
G-O-D is just one of those songs, man, of experience of my life when I was younger. It was a lot of times when I was young, I was ashamed to tell people about Christ. And I tell young kids all the time, never get to a point where you're ashamed to talk about Christ. That's a person that created us. That's a person that gave us a breath to live. And in him we live and we have our being. So it's important, like, never to be ashamed, because if we're ashamed to talk about him, like, how can other people know about Christ? Like, we have to talk about him. That has to become our life, where it doesn't matter where we are. We can be in Walmart. We can be in Staples, we could be in a mall, but never be ashamed to pull somebody over the side to tell them about Christ, because that's the only way we're going to build as a church. When you see the world, they're telling everybody about everything they do in the world. That's why the world is so big. But if we never open up our mouth and say anything, if we never declare his goodness and tell people how great he is, how can people know about G.O.D.?
Absolutely. You know, J.R., on the other side of that shame piece is fear. How do we help people come over the fear of not sharing the word about G-O-D?
Oh, yeah, because you know that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So we got to prepare ourselves. We can't be scared to go out in the highways and the byways and, you know, tell people about God. It kind of takes me back to Jeremiah 12 and 5, when early in the scripture, Jeremiah was questioning God, but God came back and said to Jeremiah, if you're tired of racing against people, how can you race against horses? If you can't stand up in the open country, how can you manage the jungle? So we got it takes preparation for us to be out, to go out into those hazardous places. Like, we got to constantly stay on our knees praying. We got to constantly stay in our word, getting that knowledge so we can go out and not be afraid. Because he's with us all the time, no matter where we go. It says, my brother said today in praise and worship, if our bed is lie in hell, he'll be right there with us. So God will never leave us or forsake us.
Amen. You know, it's so important to help us to realize that lots of time between shame and fear, that will make us idle, that'll keep us idle in our tracks. We can't move. And that's lots of times what you're having to break down. And then the third piece of that is forgiving yourself, or asking the Lord forgiveness and be able to move on, because lots of times behind that shame is because of what you've done and not realizing that we all have done and fall short of the glory. How important, Corey, is we you got to share that message with folks who won't move because of their own shame and fear and just unforgiveness of themselves.
There's just a lot of and that goes into the past, the things that we did that can hold us back. We can become neutral through fear. We can become complacent through shame and fear of past things that went on in our lives. And the only way we can get past that, like my brother said, is through prayer, it's through seeking God, it's through admitting your faults and knowing that nobody is perfect. Nobody is. Like, we all fell short of the glory of God, but through him we are forgiven, and through his forgiveness we are allowed to move on to bigger and better things in Christ.
Amen. You know, which is a good segue into our next break. And we're going to play during our next break. To your point, I'm over it, right? It's essentially what you're talking about. Our past is our past, but find a way to use it as our testimony in order to move forward. So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue with our special guest, Unanimous, J.R. and Corey, Church Board Johnson, the group Unanimous. And I will answer the question of the day, are you rapping to the slaughter? So during the break, stay with us. Feel free to call us or log on to share your thoughts. Our number is 310-861-2331 to ask a question, to make a comment. Press 1 on your telephone and raise your hands virtually. You're welcome to log in our live chat room and say what's on your mind. And Kennedy, she's back with me right now. She's made it back, so I can things go a little bit more smoother and better now. And so she can talk with you in the live chat room and bring you into the discussion. So, friends, we'd love to hear from you at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
I can't go back and change what I did. That's my own life, and it's what I got rid of. It's what I got rid of. See, I'm over it. See, I'm over it. See, I'm over it. See, I'm over. I'm over it. I don't need a pat on my back. I'm a coach.
I'm over.
Like Parmesan, I'm a steak. Just wanna hear him say, well done.
Well done.
If we ain't on the team, it's like one and
none.
Cause you don't really matter without the sun. They bringing up my past cause they low down. To get to me, it's a lot of steps to come from down low.
Can't go back to change or rearrange life. Without a past, there's no
with the group Unanimous, and the question is, rapping to the slaughter. We have J.R. and Corey, Church Board Johnson here, who are casting their nets with their great music and their calling in order to save some souls and reach the lost. J.R., Corey, thanks for staying with us.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's another good one. I'm over it. How powerful is it for your past to be your testimony? Can you talk about that, Corey?
Yes, sir. It's a lot of things that God will take us through in our life. We might not understand it. And a good person to reference to for that is Joseph. It was a lot of things that he went through He had to go to prison. He was thrown in a pit. It was a lot of things that he went through. But if he had never went through those things, he would never end up in the palace. So God sometimes allow us to be in a pit only to elevate us. He allows us to go through things not just because of things that he put us through, but sometimes we put ourselves through things ourselves. But God allows us to go through those things to be a testimony to somebody else and to elevate us as believers.
Absolutely, kind of like some of us, I would remain nameless, who was called a long time ago and just ran, right? And so that's on a personal testimony of mine. So I get it. I understand. So JR, when the song, I'm Over It, what is it?
It is just a mirror for me, my old self, my old man, who I used to be. Can't go back to those ways before I knew Christ. Before I got in line with Christ, the things that I done, the people I ran with, those old things are dead to me. I can't go back to those old ways that I had. And one of the scriptures I was reading that kind of tied into that was Romans 6 and 7 through 8. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. So we got to turn, we got to do a 180. We can't be in that same avenue. We got to walk with Christ and we got to stay on that narrow path.
Absolutely. Kind of like who wrote the lyric, tell me about the new dip of fondue. Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
So I was really listening, right?
Yeah. In that particular lyric, I was saying my soul got another dip. I call it fondue. It's just a little wordplay that I was using in that lyric. Just going down in the water, the same effect of that, being dipped.
Yeah, it's putting on your new clothes, right? It's basically
looking
in the mirror, you got a new set of clothes, right?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. So the song also talks about that you can't go back.
Right.
How important is that for us to understand that you can't go back?
Because it's meant for us, when we're saved, it's meant for us to stay on that narrow path. It talks about that God will spew you out of his mouth for being lukewarm, so it's not good to jump on one side and be on the other side. It's good to stay on that straight and narrow path and tell people our testimonies. One thing that we do do is sit on our testimony when there's other people that we can be encouraging that has the same, may go through the same thing, may have that same old man that we have, but we're so fearful of our image or who we are or our name brand that we can't stand up and tell where we came from or where God has placed us, that we can't help anybody else. That's what a testimony is for. It's for us to outreach to those people who may be going through the same thing that we're going through to encourage them to come out.
Absolutely. It's getting over what we talked about in the last segment, that shame and fear, right? Being able to step out and move forward. You know, along the way, though, you know, when we going back to a couple songs back, and we talked about instead of being a ventriloquist, you know, having a word on your mouth, we have to have the word. We have to have have to have that word in our mouth in order to kind of pierce the bones of the souls. Going back to our reference, though, you know, to the point of, you know, just leading and really getting to the point to where what you need to do in order to kind of bring this salvation, bring this cleansing. You know, how important in order to connect the fact that, you know, here's your testimony, but here's how you go forward and you use that testimony and the word of God to continue to kind of pierce, as to your point, save some souls and as well as reach the lost.
I'll repeat that again. I didn't hear you.
So as I say, how important is to connect the fact that you can't go back, right? That
right.
You have to use the word or you have to use your testimony and use the words through your testimony from the Lord's word in order to continue to pierce the bones of the world in order to kind of spread this message. How important for people to kind of connect all of that together in order to share and, to your point, save some souls and reach the lost?
Yes, sir. We just have to, you know, connect the dots with all three of those things. Not living in our old ways and not allowing, because like I said, a lot of times we want to hold on to the past or whatever like that. And really the only time we should be going back referencing to our past is when we're trying to help somebody else, trying to bring another soul over. But so at the same time, like, not being ashamed of that, not going back. And when we do go back and talk about it, like, the devil comes to, he wants to sift us as wheat. And he can allow sometimes when our mind go back, when we think on those things, he can kind of allow us to think that it was better back then, and it wasn't better. It's a new wine that he's given us now. And we shouldn't go back to that point. But like I said, in reference to trying to save a soul and trying to better someone else's life.
Absolutely. It kind of goes back to the 12 spies, right, if we're coming back. And they were like grasshoppers, and they were like giants, and they were better off in the wilderness at the end of the day. You can't just go back because you never know when you ask for that. You may just get it at the end of the day and won't be happy with it. So, you know, part which also kind of leads to one of my other favorites along on your album is Romans 10:9.
Yes, sir.
Talk about that. Talk
that
about Romans 10:9.
That is starting to become our anthem. That is starting to become we're really finna brand that t-shirts, everything, because that's the movement, that's the song that everybody is digging right now, because that kind of represents our salvation and who we are as Christians. And like I said, it's because of God's grace that we're here. And, you know, a lot of people try to paint a picture that we're these perfect Christians. We never do nothing wrong, but we all have issues in our life. It's still stuff right now that we struggle with, but it was because of God's grace and mercy that allowed us to see a new day. It's nothing that we've done. It's nothing about education, how much we have in life. It's none of that. It's only because of God's grace that we're here today. So we try to share that message of 10:9. This belief that we believe in, the faith that we have, it's not just for people who are perfect or people that have gotten themselves together. We all are sinners. We still sin. The Bible says that if we say we're not a liar, we just lie, because we all have our faults. So we try to present this message to the world to let them know that there is hope, that there is peace through Christ. And everything that we need, it comes through Christ. And Romans 10:9, if you believe that, if you believe he died on the cross, if you believe that he rose from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be saved.
You shall be saved. And we're going to go to Romans 10:9 so that our friends can hear the anthem. And it is one of those that are going to stick with you, and it's still in my mind since I heard it the other day. So here's Romans 10:9 from the Slaughterhouse album of Unanimous.
Unanimous music. Enough of this fake stuff. We about to tell the truth.
Be on alert.
This world is infected from the old to the youth. We about to take them in. Hands behind your back. Let go.
I confess it with my mouth. Believe it in my heart. He died up on that cross. Gave me a brand new start. He got up out that grave to sin. I'm no longer a slave. He died. He rose. I be on my Romans 10:9. Better be God. He got up out that grace and sin. I'm no longer a slave. He died. He rose. I be on my Romans 10:9.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. Listen to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Our mission here is simple, friends, to help you leave where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and his calling on your on our lives. That was Romans 10:9 from the group Unanimous from their album Slaughterhouse. Brothers, that's your anthem, right?
Yes, sir. That's the anthem.
That, you know, we could actually end the show off that song right there, but we still got a little bit to go. But that's a powerful anthem there.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Tell. I know you gave a little precursor, but who wrote that one?
I give that credit to JR, even though he's gonna say that I wrote it.
That's right. Hey, humble and worship, man. That y'all work well together. But I gotta know though. I missed it, and forgive me for I missed it when you said that Microsoft is an antidote. Explain that to me. Did I hear that right?
Yes, sir. Basically, that was some more wordplay.
Okay.
We were saying the word, and, you know, Microsoft is the word or whatever. So it's like a slight analogy, but we're just saying that the word is the antidote. Like, everything that we need is inside of the word. Like, it heals us. It does everything that we need. It helps us prosper. Everything comes through the word. It's our antidote.
Got it. That slipped me. I guess I was thinking too much on that one. Well, good. That's a good anthem there. You know, we got a question from online. It says it's kind of what we talked about earlier, and even what you talked about in Romans 10:9. Sometimes things get tough, you know, and we can get idle or challenged, or you know, what do you say to those who have a negative image of rap, and why they listen to you? You know, when you spread the word through rap, what do you say to people who turn up the
We like to break down our lyrics a lot, because a lot of times when we're rapping, we rap real fast, and older ears, not to knock against the older people, but older ears aren't as fast as the youth are. So we like to break down our lyrics, and we try to get them to understand that a lot of the lyrics that we put in our music, we're taking scripture, we're taking principles from the Bible, and we're transforming them into rap for the youth to understand them. So we make sure, like a lot of the shows that we go to, where we know it's an older crowd there, we try to break down our lyrics so they understand what we're saying. So, you know, a lot of people, I think they've had that negative opinion because hip-hop, you see a lot of that in the world or whatever, but it's okay to put the word of God and rap it. If a preacher says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I rap, the Lord is my shepherd, like, how can you come against it? I mean, it's the exact same thing. We just transform it to the form of rap music. So
right,
we're just trying to get older people, like, to at least take out the time, because we know they hear the boom, all the sub, the bass, and all that kind of stuff, but if they actually take out the time to listen to the lyrics, they will understand we're talking about the word of God.
You're talking about the word of God. You know, J.R., I think it also goes with the point of, I said I hadn't bobbed my hair in a long time. And so it makes people move too, right? And
right.
Do you get challenges from the older crowd, or no matter who your audience is, that makes kids and your audience move to this music?
Yeah. A lot of times we do go through a lot of struggles, you know, with this being rap music going into certain churches. You know, certain churches are of a traditional manner. Some are open to it. Even the way we dress sometimes going into a church, hats and stuff like that aren't allowed. But we know that we can't, like I said, we can't forget our mission, what our mission is. So if we got to go, if they don't want hats, we'll take them off. If they don't want the music, we'll rap a cappella. We just know that we're on a mission to do what we have to do.
Right. So essentially, you meet them where they are. You're finding that common ground with them in order to share the vision, right, and take them where you need to. Getting them on cue. So, but, you know, lots of times, you know, we all catch ourselves in being, you know, sophisticated or something, sending church, you know,
looking certain ways or feeling certain ways. But we tend to forget David danced out of his clothes, didn't he? Worshiping
right.
the Lord.
Right.
And we tend to forget those little small things, somebody after
right.
the Lord's own heart doing those elements. We can't do it ourselves. So that's just something I put in your back pocket as well, which you already have, right?
Yes, sir.
Which really leads to kind of part of what your lyrics, even though you take off your hats, you rap a cappella, and it's still food for growth. It's still test, and it is still helping with the whole message in your proverbial slaughterhouse, killing the flesh, right?
Right.
How important
right.
are these lyrics themselves to believer and non-believer? How important are they?
It's important to the believers to just remind them, and it's important to the unbelievers for them to hear it for the first time. That's one of the most powerful scriptures, I think, in the Bible, because it's leading non-believers to salvation. So it's important for us to have clarity in that, to give the people inside of church a refresh, and to give the people outside of church for the first time, allow them to hear, you know, that God is Almighty. God is the one who's going to carry you even after this. So we just try to brand it in a way so we can give it to both sides. So that's why I thank God for the gift that he's given me and my brother, that we have a ministry on the inside, but we also have a ministry on the outside. So we know how to present it to a church, and God has also given us a way to present it to the people outside of church, to the non-believers.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, time is flying, brothers. Oh my God! Looked at the time here, and we were trying to squeeze in a few other things, but you know, we got some things we want to continue to talk about and want to bring out. We're probably going to have to skip on one of the songs, but just talk about 911 just for a second. And because essentially, when times get tough, you got to call that 911 and talk about
sir.
What's that about.
And 911, before I get into that, we want to make sure we instill some worship inside of the album. Because a lot of times you hear hip-hop and you just hear a lot of the hood side of hip-hop, if I can say it in those terms. But
sure.
we forget about the worship part of hip-hop. So we wanted to make sure that we did instill that worship part inside of it. And we're all calling God for help. It's not just unbelievers. It's not just people that's going through. But We all need God, and we're calling God for help. And it's sometimes we go through trials and tribulations and circumstances in our lives, and a lot of people want to give up on God, and they're crying out, they're hurting. People are hurting inside of church and outside of church. But I want to remind people that God is there. Sometimes He'll just remove Himself from the situation just to test you, but God is always there. He hasn't for gotten those. Who have been seeking Him, and He will answer our prayers if we be patient to Him.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to switch up our clothes on our show. I usually close out, but we're going to close out with one of your songs. I want to kind of capture a few things, JR and Corey. How can people support you? Where they can find you? How they can get your music? All those different things. And I'll post some things after the show so they'll know where they are. But can you talk about that for a second?
Yes. You've heard some of the songs from Slaughterhouse. The album just released in July, and we have it online on all the major music stores, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play. Pretty much anything you can track, you can find it on. We also have a Facebook where you can find us. We have a Unanimous page on there. And, Corey's is Church Boy, Corey Church Boy Johnson. I'm Jerry Johnson on Facebook. So if you find us on there, you can get with us. We can send you the information. If you want to purchase a CD, we can also send you that information too. So just find us, and we'll get you all set up on that.
Yeah, absolutely. If you listen to Fringe, you're listening, you can also, the link to the invitation to the show has that in there, and then we'll reconnect through there, and of course you can just kind of go and conquer after that. So Corey, what can we be in prayer with you and your brother about?
Man, we're hungry. We're thirsty for souls, man. That's the number one goal. We can ask God for things all day, and it's cool, but
we're concerned about the world right now, the generation. It's a lack of youth in the church. And our number one goal is to go to places where most Christians are uncomfortable going to secular venues to get people who are lost and bring them to the church. So if people can stay in prayer with us in that area, man, it's a fight, it's a battle. It's a battle in the spiritual realm, man. The devil doesn't want to see this happen. But if they can stay in prayer with us, that we might, you know, stay strong, be courageous, and remain having this thirst for souls and bringing youth to the kingdom of God.
So we're gonna virtually touch and agree on that. Be strong, courageous, hunger for souls, and bringing youth to the Lord. That's what we're gonna do here today with Unanimous. So just hold for a minute, brother. We're gonna say our quick thanks, and then we're gonna let Unanimous close out our show for tonight. And there's a lot more we could have talked about it, but we'll have them on another time, and I'm sure real soon. But before we go, we want to give thanks to these brothers for taking the time out this Sunday evening. I'm sure it's been a great long day, but they're used to working through these things. And we thank you for joining us on our second series, in our second year, and as well as we hope that our ministry to help you to get on cue with God's will. And I have an ask of all of you to put us on your prayer list, like us on Facebook at On Cue Radio, follow us on Twitter each and every week as well. Invite a friend to listen to the show and even to next week's show. If you're leading a church on the field, at work, at home, in the community, anywhere, consider us as your leadership tool and partner. For information, you can go out to our website at qleadership.org or .com. That's cueleadership.org.com. We give all honor and praise to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank for those who turned in. And I thank you for my producer assistant who got here in time enough to continue to help it move us forward. My better half, Ty, my other daughter, Carson. I'm a tongue tied here. And as well as all my friends on Facebook in the world. And we dedicate this show to the breast cancer survivors. And this has been On Cue. And we have a quick request from you.
I just want to say, go Cowboys!
Oh, I tell you that I have.
Baby.
I have an annoying guest inside the studio here. No, just wanted to. It's thankful all those who have took the time out from football games tonight in order to listen in tonight. But so Corey, JR.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about, take us out with Champion. You gonna tell us about it?
Oh, you said what now?
Yeah, tell us about Champion.
Champion, man. We are all. This song was written because we are all conquerors through Christ. We are all champions. There is no quitting in Christ. There is no losing in Christ. We all are winners, and we're champions in Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. You know, because I think that's one of my new anthems too. I think if you play in a game or before a game or whatever, this is one of those. I know you got the Romans 10:9, but this is one of those you got to continue to play. So this has been On Cue. We had a great time tonight with Unanimous, and here's Champions taking us out, and continue to put these brothers in your prayer and lift them up so they continue to save some souls and reach the lost. Till next week.
I can't give up. I will fight till the end, till it's over. I will win tonight. Oh, champion, you can see it in my eyes. I won't stop till I see the finish line.
number, not a login. You gotta be a member to enter. I gotta click. We are winners. I'm a heavyweight. You a featherweight. Watch me levitate, elevate. In the fourth quarter, chicken all day. You can shake and bake. No kick, kick. Can't catch a break. Can't escape. You should join my team. Don't segregate. I'm going for the gold. Step on mine so you detonate. You can keep the crooked smile. I'ma make it straight. I'm just trying to get to the pearly gate. And if that costs me my life, then you can Bill Gates.
I will fight till the end, till it's over. I will win tonight, tonight. Oh, champion, you can see it in my eyes. I won't stop till I see the finish line. I won't stop till I see the finish line.